I can't believe it was a week ago Monday that I returned from Spain, where I was blessed to be on pilgrimage with 30 other people from Calgary, 26 of them from our parish here at St. Peter's. Over the course of 7 days, we walked 113 kilometers of the main Camino road called the Camino Francés. And then on Friday, the 29th of September, we arrived at about 10:30 in the morning in Santiago de Compostela. And there we were before the cathedral where the relics of the Apostle James are housed. When we got to the cathedral and prepared for the Mass that took place at noon, I was struck by how many people were there. There were over 1,000 people in the cathedral waiting for that Mass to begin at 12 noon. Each day, some 700 people arrive in Santiago de Compostela, having journeyed on a portion or sometimes the entirety of one of 7 routes that all converge in that wonderful place. Now, there's much I could share with you about this amazing pilgrimage, but the one thing I want to focus on this evening was the time we had at dinner. Picture this, 31 people, some days sitting all at one long table. The conversation was animated. Other days, because we couldn't all sit at one table, we'd be at maybe 2 or 3 tables. And there was indeed spirited conversation. And speaking of spirits, there was also lots of wine because we were in Spain. You don't even have to order the stuff there. They just bring it to the table. I thought I was at the wedding at Cana. It was amazing. Then on the Saturday, our last day, a week ago today, hard to believe, we had dinner late. Well, you always eat dinner late in Spain, but this was particularly late. We didn't eat until 9 that night. But what a privilege it was because we were in this small dining room and there was another group of 10 Americans who had come to also walk part of the Camino to raise money for an organization called Catholic Charities. And it was so much fun to interact with them. We were able to raise a glass to celebrate what we had accomplished. And then this was the most amazing thing. They said, we'd like to sing your national anthem, but we don't know the words. And so we sang our national anthem for them. And then after that, together, we sang their national anthem. And this was in a monastery that had been turned into a hotel. It had big, high ceilings. You would have thought that we were the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Not 30, 40 Catholic pilgrims who were tired at the end of a week's journey. Well, I've told you this story in part because I want to capture something about the place of wine in relation to our readings this evening. As I was meditating upon the scriptures for this week, time and again, I went back to those table fellowship encounters that we had in Spain. And in that passage from Isaiah, we hear these words, God expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but he heard a cry. You see, God wants us to be a particular kind of people whose lives are being shaped and formed in a particular kind of way. But living in a world like this, living on the journey that is our earthly life, can at times be exhausting. At times, we are just trying to get to the next day. And we lose sight of the fact that we are to form, so to speak, vintage wine worthy of labels like Jesus's Merlot or the Savior's Pinot Grigio. So how is it that we can be a people whose lives are more and more being like good grapes? Well, there are 4 things that I would have us think of, and this is just the way my brain works. It's all based on the word wine. So, the first thing is we are called to be winsome. We're called to be intentional. We're called to be natural and excellent. Winsome, intentional, natural, and excellent. I love the word winsome. It's not a word we use very much anymore, but it's a beautiful word because when you take it apart, The word win comes from a Germanic root that means to delight, to delight. And the some part means to strive, to work towards. So the word winsome means to strive, to work, to delight, to be winsome, to be the kind of person that is learning to live our daily life winsomely in relation to God. That because we are in this love relationship with God, we want to delight him. And sometimes we forget that we're in a love story. And it might have been easy to miss that that first reading from Isaiah was actually a love song. Remember how it begins? Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. But did you listen to the song? As so many love songs are, it's a hurting song. You can almost hear, you know, the country singer with his cowboy hat and boots singing that song, because it's a hurting song. And love songs often are hurting songs. Because here's the thing. In a world like this, the one that we most want to delight, the one that we most want to love, we sometimes end up hurting the most. It's just a crazy kind of world we live in. And so we need to take to heart God's desire for us. It's not the relationship of sort of an exacting father who we can never make happy, and he's always just waiting to let us have it. He's a lover. And this is a love relationship. A relationship where, as we learn what it means to be winsome, we can maybe pray like this. Help me, Jesus, to be winsome. Help me to become ever more the kind of person whose life has a fragrance that is truly pleasing and a delight to you. But not only are we to cultivate a winsome character, we are to live intentionally. And that's one of the amazing things about going on the Camino. Like, we're from all over the world, but it's intentional. We are walking each day because we all have the same goal in mind. Now, the reason we're going to Santiago might be different. For some people, it was very much for a religious, spiritual reason. For others, it was for different motives. But the intention was the same. And one of the things that so often happens in our lives is we lose sense of what it means to live intentionally. And that's why in the parable that we had from the gospel, it's so hard. Because what can happen in our lives is we sometimes think, this is our world to do with what we want. There is no gardener. There is no one who owns the vineyard. It is ours. And know what that can lead to in our lives? A kind of miserly protectiveness where we cling and we're suspicious and we're angry. But what God wants for us is we understand more and more what it is to live an intentional life, is to live with a generous openness that then produces the fruit of grace day by day. We're to be winsome, we're to be intentional, and we are to live naturally supernatural lives. What do I mean by that? Well, think again of the vineyard, right? That this is a good vineyard. And this vine dresser had been very intentional in ensuring that it was good soil and that he did everything he could to protect those grapes. But we're not quite as easy to deal with as grapes, are we? Because the thing about being human is that this is relational. And in our lives, we can lose sight of the supernatural dimension of who we are and who we are becoming. And I love the way Thomas Aquinas put it. He says, grace perfects nature. By that he meant, the more we're open to Jesus Christ in our lives, the more we're able to realize those ways in which we cling, in which we are suspicious, in which we push people away, the more we say, Jesus, help me to become winsome. We discover over time a work of conversion, where our hearts are changing. And we're becoming a people who, as we live in this world, are being infused with supernatural grace so that we can live our lives with a deepening trust and confidence in God. And St. Paul, in our reading from Philippians, says that people who are learning to live naturally supernatural lives are cultivating an attitude of prayer. And please remember this about our prayer when we're praying to Jesus. We must remember that all of our prayer is directed towards the love of God, who desires what is best for us. We must also remember that the wisdom of God knows what is best for us. And as we learn to live our lives in this way, one of the things that's hardest for us to do is to trust God. But one of the things he desires more than anything else is that we would learn more and more to trust him. Sometimes on the Camino, some of us, including me, got lost. And on our last day, I went much farther than I should have. And part of the reason was I was walking so quickly in the morning that I got to the place where I was going to meet our guide before she got there. And so I was all the way in Santiago and wondered, where's our hotel? It seems like it's back in the other direction. And it was great that I had my cell phone so I could phone Sandra and say, Sandra, I think I'm lost. How do I get to the hotel? And she was able to direct me. One of the things we need to learn in our life, it's okay for us to admit when we're lost. It's okay for us to admit when we need direction. Sometimes I think we think that as Catholics, we've got to have it all together. We have to be able to make sure that we've got all of our ducks in a row all of the time. But life just is not like that. Life is so much more complicated. Life brings us to this place of saying, yes, Lord, I come to you in prayer. Yes, Lord, I will seek those brothers and sisters. Yes, Lord, I will seek out the guidance of a priest, if necessary, to help direct me back on the way. So we are to be winsome. We are to be intentional. We are to live naturally supernatural lives. And finally, we are to learn to live a life of excellence. How did Paul put it? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, think of these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Isn't it hard to think of the excellent? I don't know about you, but I seem to be so much more prone to go the other way. But I want to grow in becoming a man who is learning more and more to cultivate the way where I am thinking about those things that are excellent. And again, this is just the last thing I'll share, another kind of learning on the Camino. There's just something about that walking with one another where you see the excellent at work. There was Charlie. And when Charlie started to speak, I said, Charlie, are you from Boston? And he was from Boston, but he was joking. And he said, no, I'm from Madrid, because he had such a heavy Boston accent. Charlie, about my age, Charlie, who had not prayed a rosary since he was in grade 7, Charlie, as I was lost in Santiago on that Friday, he had the rosary in his hand. Charlie, who had been given that rosary by one of our pilgrims. What an excellent moment that was. Then there was this woman. She was here. It was her 70th birthday. And I just happened to walk beside her at the very moment where she had left something under a rock to symbolize that she wanted to give up a resentment and a hurt that she had carried for 20 years. And I was privileged to walk with her for about 2 hours and to talk and to listen. Then there was the woman who turned 65 while she was walking the Camino. She didn't do 113 kilometers, she did all 800 from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port to Santiago. And she had turned 65 while she was doing this. And then there are the dear brothers and sisters in Christ from here at St. Peter's who just having this opportunity to be together in community just helped me to appreciate the excellence that is the gift of human life, of human companionship. And then there was the icing on the cake. September 29th, we arrive, as I said at the beginning of this homily, at the cathedral. And I'm just going to go up there and be with one of the 30 or so priests and concelebrate the Mass, kind of anonymous over in the corner. But it just so happened that I was the only English-speaking priest there that day, and so the sacristan who spoke good English said, could you come celebrate the Mass? And I was passed a chasuble, and there I was, standing right next to an Italian bishop who spoke fluent Spanish and spoke really good English as well. And so there was this sense for me, because you know I'm a relatively new Catholic priest, and I could not have imagined 6 years ago that someone said to me, you will be concelebrating Mass in the cathedral in Santiago de Compostela with the relics of St. James right behind you. And here was the thing, at the end of this Mass, they have the biggest thurible in the world. You know that thing that holds incense? It weighs about 600 pounds. And it takes 8 people to crank this thing and to get it starting to swing back and forth and back and forth and higher and higher and faster and faster. The excellence of being Catholic is the excellence of knowing we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. We are part of this church. We are part of the vineyard that is the vineyard of our Father. And our Father desires for us to be men and women who are growing in winsomeness, in living intentionally, living naturally supernatural lives, and cultivating day by day attitudes of excellence. May God bless you. May God bless us. And may St. Peter's become evermore a community of good, good grapes.